Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
It's a beautiful, chilly night, isn't it, in Florida? So we need a sweater, you know. We don't need the AC. I'm your host, Dr. Billy. It's the weekly show every Wednesday at night with 7 to 8. You can go to the Facebook, Family Power Facebook, and you have all the information. And this is my co-host, my friend.
Hi, everyone. Sheena Benjamin Wise here, your family law attorney in Broward County, and we're here kind of recouping from a long holiday weekend, having nice Thanksgiving.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Hanukkah, huh?
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was marvelous. It was really wonderful. I had the opportunity to travel up to Tampa and spend time with family, and I have a young one, so they, you know, poured all over her, so that was
You doing something cool, special over the Thanksgiving in your family?
Well, other than eat turkey on Thursday, eat turkey on Friday, then we have a fish fry on Saturday and eat crab and have a good time.
Are you cooking?
No.
You have any kind of tradition on Thanksgiving that you're doing in your family?
We do, like, it's Thanksgiving, football, and Black Friday right now. That's what we do in that order.
It's the last candle at Hanukkah today.
Uh-huh.
And you know, in Hanukkah, we used to give the family a gift. So, and today's the last gift that the children gave. It's a lot of donuts, a lot of food. And so we need to have a diet before Christmas. So, again, it's a Family Power Hour. And we're excited to have this show available to discuss story of the week, hot topic, the topic that impacts the family. They might be struggling with divorce, trauma, pain, parenthood, money, alimony, all the good stuff in life. And let us tell you, it's not advice show. It's a talk show. And today we have a guest.
Today we have the opportunity to speak to two guests. We have Jody Sampson and Marianne Dubin, who's going to be talking to us about a very, very important topic. We're going to be talking about cyberbullying, bullying in the early school years and high school years, along with suicide, which often might be a problem that many families don't know how to cope with, and really would love to have some experience talk.
Because I think the bullying at school over the year become more and more a very important topic. I mean, I think children today don't be afraid to be bullying. And don't forget about the bullying over texting, bullying over the social media. This is really part of bullying. But Jody, can you tell us what the definition to bullying?
Well, I'm sure there's many definitions. The definition in Broward County, in the school system, they have a definition which says it means systematically and chronically inflicting physical hurt or psychological distress on one or more students or employees. And that could mean many things, but they define it as being an ongoing thing, not just a one-time episode of someone putting someone down or having a physical altercation. It's an ongoing and systematic type of behavior.
You said something, definition at Broward. There's a different definition in West Palm and Broward. I mean, that's, if you know, you don't know.
I don't really know.
Okay.
I know that Florida and probably the whole country has become more and more aware of the effects of bullying on students due to a lot of the violent things that go on between teenagers and students and kids.
What age the bullying start? At the middle school, at the high school, at the elementary school? What age did it really start?
Any age?
I remember there was bullying when I was young. There's always been bullying. Now, do you think that there has been a change? Has there been an intensity in the bullying? Is it more frequent than it was back when we were younger? Or is it the same and it's just something that we notice more because you said our awareness is greater?
Well, I know today there's cyberbullying.
That's a new
where, thing. Yeah, so bullying has taken... That's a new form of bullying that didn't exist years ago. So I think that with cyberbullying, that maybe has increased bullying because of that type of bullying.
I think it's more anonymous that way. Even
right.
though you know who's bullying, it seems easier for people to say things that they might not say to you face to face in a text or in an email or an IM or whatever
right.
on the computer because they don't have to face you.
Yeah. Well, you remember we did an episode about
Absolutely.
The texting, you know, it's
that.
Easy when you can text and people don't understand what you can be harassed over texting. Do you have any story that you know, of course no name, what's the youngest episode or the youngest story that was bullying at school or you said you have some you want to...
Actually, yeah. I was telling Mary Ann just on our way here that this past week on the news,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you saw it, there was a little kindergarten boy somewhere in the Midwest, and he had a speech impediment, and he had a very unique personality. And this little boy liked to wear suits and ties to school.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he used to get teased. And he was also a water boy for, I guess, the school baseball team or something, or maybe it was a community baseball team, but these boys on this baseball team were like fifth graders, fourth, fifth, sixth, and they loved this little boy, and they heard that he was getting teased
totally.
In school,
mm-hmm.
so what they decided to do was they all decided to wear suits and ties
oh, nice.
To school. I guess
right.
they all went to the same school. They wore suits and ties to school that day to support this little boy. And it was a fantastic story on the news just last week. And one of the little boys they interviewed, like the fifth grader, he was crying. He was crying. Yeah, he said, we just wanted to support little, and I don't remember his name, because we love him. And he started crying. And it was the whole thing about bullying in person. Now, it's a whole different story on the cyber, but is the bystanders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can rally the bystanders to not be bystanders, and to intervene, then there would be probably a whole lot less face-to-face bullying because the person wouldn't be able to get away with it.
How does the school system encourage our kids to be non-standbyers and kind of take a stand and protect their friends and take a stand?
Well, throughout there's a safe number that students can call.
Mm.
To actually anonymously call this number and get help.
One of the numbers, 211. It's a hotline for all the teenage and the family that wants to complain, that wants to vent, that wants to talk. It's 211. Sorry.
So they can call this number to get help
mm-hmm.
in school. They can also go to their security specialist in high school. I know they can go to that person. They can go to a resource officer, and they can seek out help. They can go to administration at the school, and they can ask for help that way.
Is there a campaign that encourages the kids and say, look, there's this number. If you see something happening, you know, be empowered take a stand, and is that what happens?
They have something called Safe Zone.
Safe School. Yeah.
Schools.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that has to do with bullying.
Yeah.
And it has
this
posters and different teachers' doors and guidance that have the poster on it, and there's phone numbers.
When you go to our Facebook page, Family Power, you have all the information about Safe School, the telephone numbers, and they are and the website, and you can use it if you need it. Did the school, I mean, if any complaint, the school really check the complaint or just brush it off?
They take every complaint seriously.
How?
Yeah.
Anytime there's a complaint, they'll call the student in, and they'll listen to what the student has to say. If it has to do with...
And the person complaining is the victim, is the person who's being bullied?
The person that's complaining is the victim, absolutely. And they'll listen to what they have to say. They'll hear them out. If it has to do with other students involved, they'll bring those other students in, and they'll listen to what's going on.
What is the time the school brings the parent? What is kind of bring the police?
I think each case is individual, but they must investigate. They have to, and they have to document it. If they find that a case is indeed, you know, fits the description and the policy of bullying, true bullying, they actually document it, and you know, there's disciplinary action, and they do mediation and whatever, you know.
I want to ask a question. First, for the callers, you can call us.
Okay.
I can't see the number.
347-945-7246. Please, if you have a story you want to share, if you have a question for some of us here, just give us a call, 347-945-7246, and we'll be happy to share our information.
Thank you. I need a pair of new pair of glasses. I want to ask you, all the listeners, that do you think the school doing enough about how to deal with every complaint? Because especially in Florida, here in South Florida, every school wants to be an A school. Everybody, school, you know, with the escalator, everything wants to do to be the best. And sometimes people don't want to, a board didn't want to admit they have a problem. So what do you think about this? So you can call us at 347-945-7246. 46. Jody?
You have it's the question.
No, the question is not for the for our guest. The question was because we want to do the politically correct, so we don't want to go to this part. But I think what do you think when the one of the child is a bully, how do you think the family react about this?
Well, hopefully they'll take him seriously and back them up and go to the school and make sure that something is done.
I heard a year ago, it was around here in South Florida, it was one of the child, he was 6 years old, he was really bullying, and the principal said, nothing we can do, he need to move because he can't have the other student, he need to move to another school. So the parents changed the address, there was a time that you need to go with the same zip code. And of course, it didn't stop. But so, that's what I'm saying. I just want to know what's the school doing, what's the parent doing, and really, the children really safe. That's what I want to know.
When we think about children, vulnerable children, I think what comes to mind are middle school, because that's when you kind of go into this new world. And so I think bullying is, am I right that bullying is a bigger issue as you go into the middle school and then travel into high school, or is that a misnomer?
I mean, it probably does get a little worse as you get older. The kids are bolder and they're,
yeah, kids can be ruthless, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they were doing it in elementary and they weren't really stopped and they go on,
then they become with the group, you know, just not just one, and they become two and three, and they just try to believe one. What's the sign parents need to know if the daughter or the child or the son be bullying? If there was any sign the parents need to pay attention?
Probably some of the same signs as like depression and anxiety.
Well,
in the sense
just
of,
share for the for
know,
our listeners so they may not know
be,
who they are.
Which would be, you know, nervousness, refusal to go to school if it's happening in school.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, most of the teenagers don't want to go to school because of the, you know, the exam. They don't want to go. So there was a specific sign that you need to know when your child really being harassed.
I think that, as Jody said, I think a lot of times we see that the student lack of attendance to school,
mm-hmm.
the student stops wanting to go to school, maybe lack of interest in activities, as she said, signs of depression.
Yeah, but you, yeah, but that's I'm going to give a few signs because no child wants to go to school. You know, everybody wants to stay home. But first, see if you have physical sign on your body. You know, if it's coming, because when you've been bullying, you have sign, I mean, a black spot on your body. Not necessarily, but sometimes
it's
a physical. But I'm talking about physical. And see if when he refuses to go to school, ask why he refuses to school. If he's not going to any activity after school, if he is not going to any party at school, if he starts texting or starts being on Facebook, because this is the first sign when the child don't know what to do. Because when the child being harassed, most of the friends don't want to be part of this. Because even if you have a good friend, the children just living alone because nobody wants to be bullying. So if he just disconnect with himself with the other children, this is the first sign. And this is easy.
Yeah.
This is easy to know. About, and it's go both of the sides, physical and mental. Because if your child stop texting or being on Facebook, and because Narai have less friends, that means something wrong there. And don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to go with the child to the school if you feel you have any suspicions.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Billy. So right now we're going to take a really quick break. And listeners, this is really an important topic. If you have an experience or you have some information that you can share with us, please call at 347-945-7246, and we're going to go and take a break. Thank you.
Remember Humpty Dumpty and his great fall? Is it possible that we all have a lot in common with him? Could he have removed his propensity to go splat? Is there anything we can do to remove our own fault lines? Stephen Lewis, the developer of a 24/7 self-healing technology, the AIM program of energetic balancing, believes that in the absence of fault lines, Humpty would have just gotten banged up, a little dirty, requiring a little detailing rather than be put back together. Instead, he broke where he was programmed to age. But unlike Humpty, we can heal our fault lines, remove our potentials for disease instead of counting on others to diagnose or treat our symptoms. How? Visit aimprogram.com. Get Stephen's book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and join the thousands worldwide who are changing their programming and becoming the first in the history of their family with no family history.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book and my radio show, there are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham, Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
Here we are again. We are sorry about the technical stuff we have. I don't know why we disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, it's a internet radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, things happen. It's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with South Florida. It's a beautiful day. And we're talking about bullying at school. And before we disconnect, was a question you started to ask a question. So you have a question? All right.
Well, welcome.
We have a special guest here. We're not going to reveal the name because the special is going to be very, very special guest next week. So we're going to call you Dee. Dee, you have a question.
It's very nice to be here. Yes, I do. I have a question asking about whether there's a pattern to bullying on both sides of the issue. Like, is there a pattern with kids who become bullies, and is there a pattern, do they look for certain personality characteristics in the kids who they bully? I know sometimes when you read about criminal cases, for example, I'm not comparing it to, I'm just saying that a lot of times they look for vulnerable targets. And I'm asking, do bullies, even at that age, do they recognize that in kids who are the victims? And what, is there a pattern with bullies in terms of the kind of home environment they're coming from or their personality characteristics or anything?
I think it's all the above, you know. You can take some, but Jody.
I say, as far as the bully goes, I believe that they say that some of it might be innate in your personality, but also it has to be sort of nurtured in the home somehow, that type of behavior where you have disregard and disrespect for other people, whether they're, witnessing it between parents or domestic violence or whatever's going on in the home, that people are just not respecting each other and there's a lot of putting people down, and maybe even physical violence of sorts. And they're just, and when the other type of behavior is when they're younger, if there's a dispute with something at school, and the parent always takes the child's side without hearing the other side,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, and the child is always right, that
mm-hmm.
creates a child that thinks they can do no wrong, and no matter what they do and who they put down and who they hurt or hit, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add, it was 2 weeks ago, it was the human trafficking was the guest here, and one of the things they say that when they, Romeo, find the girls, usually when he approached the girl and say, "You're looking very good," and she's just looking down because she's insecure, this is a great target. So we're talking about self-esteem, when you have self-esteem, but it's not necessarily, it's all the above. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can be, have a lot of self-esteem and something just jealous or something
mm-hmm.
happened. But I think it's come from the house, how does the home, how the parents support. In my practice, in my office, I point the finger to the parents. I mean, we need to do the better job. Because it's not just the children, it's not just the school. The parents need to do a better job. But you start to say a story about a long time ago that you want to share with us?
Well, I was just saying, when I was young and, when I was in school, I had a little bit of a weight problem. I was never an obese kid, but I always was a few
You're
pounds.
You're very
was...
sexy, beautiful lady. Scary.
I didn't look like this in the fourth grade. But, and so I don't know that I would call it bullying, but there were enough kids, teasing me, boys and girls. I mean, I have to tell you, girls at that age can be really catty, and I even went through it in high school. But up until that point, I had always been a very outgoing kid, laughing, bubbly all the time, and my mom just noticed that all of a sudden I went from being this outgoing kid to becoming very withdrawn. Now, I don't know that I was necessarily depressed, but I was just quiet, and I just, I went to school and everything, and I guess it was my personality, I kept things to myself. But the point is, she kind of recognized, okay, wait a minute, what happens to this personality changes, night and day. She took it upon herself to go down and talk to the principal. And it was a Catholic school, and they didn't put up with, the principal was great. And she just said to my mother, "I will take care of it."
Mm-hmm.
My mom had names, because, my mother, I think she probably talked to me and probably forced it out of me to tell her. I have a really wonderful mom. I'm really blessed that way. And she was very involved. And Billy, I think that's the key, what you just said about parenting. But anyway, my mother went down to the school. The principal said, "Oh, no, this is not going to go on, not under my watch." And those kids were disciplined. I don't know exactly because I wasn't there when it happened. And
but those days, a lot of people was talking about this and did nothing. So good for the principal.
I think
sure they called it teasing back then, not bullying.
Right,
that word had not been coined.
Exactly. And I have
so
to
much.
Say, too, I've mentioned this on the break. I mean, I, as an adult now, even though I love social media and I use it for my business, I'm like, thank the Lord that it wasn't around when I was growing up, because I just can only imagine how much the problem is magnified now with the advent.
And then the schools do have like a zero tolerance when it comes to internet and Facebook bullying, that kind of thing. It must be extremely difficult to try to police that kind of behavior with kids who, like we said earlier, parents may not be on top of them as far as, you know, what's on your account, what you're doing on your account. How does the school kind of set those boundaries and enforce those boundaries when it comes to social media?
What I find is it's not unusual among friends if students, if one, friends will go, if they find another student being victimized, they'll go and they'll find an adult in the school to let them know. That's not unusual.
But I don't think that school can be in charge of what happened after school. You know, all the social media is after school.
They will get involved somewhat, because if it, the cyberbullying and things like that, and because usually it crosses over. Usually it's happening in school and
right.
Do you like to bring a cell phone into school? I mean, okay. Yeah.
You're not supposed to be using it, but they all do. You would be surprised. Even the parents are texting the kids while they're in class.
Wow. Maybe it's a new law, not a device in school. Yeah. So you said it's even. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You said that it's both outside of school and
I think the schools try and. Because many of the schools now have officers, you know, school resource officers in the schools, we partner with the police agencies and, you know, what happens outside of school on the internet and cyberbullying and things.
How come for so many people involved, you know, you have an officer, you have all the activities in school, and it's the number just crimson up. So what's wrong here? There was no more children is bullying. Even we try to do everything. So what's wrong here? What are we doing wrong? Do we doing wrong?
This kind of thing, you don't know if it's really increased or if it's just being reported more.
All right.
It's the same thing with a lot of things.
Okay.
And the fact that it's a cyber thing that's new
that's
to the last
layer.
15 years, you know.
Right.
So we've
got to figure out how to incorporate it, because the internet's not going away. You know, the Facebook might change names and it might become something else, but this is going to be a factor of our lives for a long time. So protecting our children, incorporating the school policies and doing and getting parents to be involved is something new for us. This whole generation thing is something new that we have to try to figure out.
I don't know, my children is, you know, is a dog, but I saw my grandson, you know, that we're talking on FaceTime, so he's going to bond for this, he knows that's how to use it, so in these days it's really, really dangerous. One of the terms that I took from the internet is child grooming. Do you know what child grooming?
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a dog who is a friend with his child on a social network, and the child didn't know it is an adult. So this is
to do with child abuse.
But it's going to go to there. You know, it's going to go to there. If the adult try to connect to the child, and then you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think everything is abuse. You know, even if you just try to get as an adult to befriend, pretend you befriend, and get to take advantage of the child. This is kind of the abuse. Maybe it's more human trafficking, but it's so the line is so vague between what's abuse and not what's abuse. I don't think it's definitely a definition about what's abuse or not. Because if somebody adult arrives to you over the Facebook, I think it's abuse.
Now, when we miss those signs, we miss the depression, we miss the isolation, we miss the bullying, and then we have a tragedy happen. How do we, as parents, know, what do you suggest, or what are some of the steps that parents can take to protect our children, because now they've lost a friend because the situation has occurred.
For instance, the suicide happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think when we miss the signs?
When we miss the signs, and so then we have a tragedy. We have a suicide. Somebody has, you know, elected to take care of the situation their way, and so now there's an emptiness that's left. There's a pain that's left. So now we as parents have to address the children. The school system has to address the children. What are some of the steps that are encouraged to take?
It's a grieving process, yeah. It's a grieving process like everything.
We need to be there for our children. We need to be there to listen. And
when you say we need to be there and listen, what do you mean?
I think as parents, it's very important to at least take 15 to 20 minutes a day to just listen without judgment to our children. And during that 15 or 20 minutes, we need to not criticize them, ridicule, or judge them.
The question if the child wants to talk to you, you know, when the child comes to school, especially when he's in high school, and they say, let's talk, I want to know what's going on in your day, he say, everything was okay, he's go to his room. So how you can be force your children to sit and talk to and find out what's going on?
It doesn't have to be 15 minutes altogether, though, right?
No.
Yeah, about
John.
You have to have an hour.
I guess the process is they start when they're very young.
Yeah.
You sit on the edge of their bed at night when they're very young and you do that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It becomes
and habit,
building a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of, like, so one of the most precious times that I have with my daughter is the car ride to school. You know, that car ride to school, we get to talk about stuff, and, you know, she tells me about her girlfriend, a little, you know, what's happening, and it's like, okay, this is our time. You know, there's no daddy, there's no little sister, it's just her and me, and I think a lot of people have that experience, and they've shared that experience that, you know, a car ride is
well,
the moment. grab that moment.
And they can't run anywhere. If you need to run to court, and the garage door didn't close.
Oh, yeah.
it's really important. You know, we're talking about after effect, but it's very important for all the parents. Try to listen to your children. We're all busy. You know, you need to work. We're rushing. We have a mortgage. We have the boss on the head. I mean, this is life. But your children didn't decide to come to this world. You have a lot of responsibility for your children. So take the time to listen. Don't be a friend with the children. Be a parent. Take the time to listen. You know the child the best. You know what's going on with the child. You know what if something changed on your child. And, you know, and after the fact, when, for God be it, the child makes suicide, and then shouldn't, could have, wouldn't, it not going to help. How, I don't have the statistic with me, because I saw that it was increased over the year, that the suicide between teenage, it's not increased, it's lower, the lower number. The number was more with the age for 45 to 55. This is the age with people make a suicide. Yeah. This is and special
the older people.
Yes, the older people, special men. It's less for the teenage. So So
well, even 1% is too many for anybody.
Absolutely right. Especially children. I remember the story. It was 3 years ago about the girl from Wellington. That you know, after she would make a suicide, they find out the diary that she was bullying, and
being bullied.
She was 12 years old. It was 2 years ago. Yeah, and do you remember the story? It was all the news, and then, you know, a very typical nice family. I mean, that the parents really really care about the children. They used to do holiday together, and they didn't know that she was bullying. And when they, after she was make a suicide, they opened the diary and they find out what happened there. Mm. And the finger was the point to school. We don't know exactly what happened there. So I telling the people that come to me to see me, there was no privacy at the home. Search and your child stuff. open your diary. Open, take the, all the access to the Facebook, the code for the cell phone and Twitter. And don't answer. A lot of times it's a child privacy. It's not. Go and look at it. Look what's inside the school bag. Just look and see. Are you searching your child's stuff? I hope so. I used to do it. Mm-hmm. And my children knew that I used to do it. Yes.
We share so much. Like, I feel like I'm really involved in her, her little world. And so, that's not necessarily, she tells on herself. She's so funny. She'll tell her, she'll say, I want to watch this. I say, is it rated R? Oh, yeah. Okay, can't watch it. Okay. I'm not at that point yet where
no, because in your house, and I know you and your husband, you're really talking, you're really listening. It's not just to talk, it's just really listen and pay attention to the detail and the boundaries. You know, mm-hmm. That's when it's time to get a cell phone, when it's time to go to bed. What you're allowed to see on TV or not, you're not allowed to see TV. Just set the boundary.
It's hard to believe that if something was going on with your child for 2 years that you wouldn't know anything.
Right.
You're
it's
just not looking. You're
it's
not looking. You're not communicating. You have to be more involved, and you have to know your child. And some people, and unfortunately, like you say, life happens, but they're so wrapped up in their own lives and their own stresses and struggles as parents that they're just, the kids get fed, the kids get clothed, they get bathed, everything, room is neat, and that's all there is to it.
And in my experience, in my practice, people are focused on their divorce or they're focused on what's happening in their life. Some are victims of domestic violence, and they, sometimes I see that, they're so focused on this little thing, and they think, oh, the kids are fine, or the kids don't hear, or the kids don't know, and the kids are being impacted. And because there's such a big distraction, and I am not blaming any parent or any family that's caught up in this kind of situation, but I think it can be made so that they can create a situation where they think the child is so fine and that my troubles are greater than the child's right now, because the child, what are their troubles in their mind as getting a good grade, getting up to go to school, and dealing with me as the parent, and not realizing that the child might be struggling with something and then miss it.
Is it possible that the child doesn't want to say anything if they know the parents go through their
own
distress?
Absolutely. Right. They try to protect the parents.
That's a problem.
Right. Yeah. They try to protect the parents, and then they don't want to create a more divisiveness that's already there between the parents, because, it's just then becomes a blame game, and then more.
But they are the children, the responsibility is the parents. They are the responsible to find out what's going on with all the problems they've been through, but they are responsible for to be a parent.
I also think that it's important that when your child is really tired in the morning, that it's important to find out just how late they're staying up on Facebook at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's important to know how much time that they're spending on Twitter. And it's important to know what's going on, how much time they're spending on social media.
And with whom.
And
They're not just...
That brings up a question, so you reminded me. Do you recommend that parents maybe say, okay, after 9 o'clock, no computer? You take away their phone, you take away the computer, and they go to bed, and that's it from, set some, or whatever time. I mean, I said 9 o'clock, but do you recommend that as a good idea,
mm-hmm.
As a good practice?
Well, I think it's important to know their own kids. I think it's important to know, just to know just, how, what their energy level is. If they seem really tired in knowing their own kids, if they seem rested, then they're okay with the amount of time. Yes, I think boundaries are important. I think if there is such a thing as a bedtime. and I think it's, yes, there's study time, and yes, there needs to be friendship time,
right.
But there need to be boundaries. I think that teenagers and children need to have structure.
Yeah. they handle very good. They need a structure. They handle very good with the structure. But I think it's not when, it's how. I think the parents need to know what the children are doing. I mean, you can go bedtime at midnight and you function very good in the morning, but it's the main, what are you talking with? I mean, it's just a friend, it's just a doll that, or the side that you shouldn't go there. Just what you're doing, I mean, what you're struggling with, somebody bullying you, or just, I think a parent just afraid to find out what they're going to find in the children's personal life. Mm-hmm. That's, sometimes they try to be like a hostage, just, you know, just, it's not exist, and the denial. To be a parent today, it's not easy. It's really not easy, and I admire you, Sheena. I don't know how you do it, but thank God I don't have small children.
Thanks. Yeah. Sounds so positive.
And I admire you because it's not easy, you know. That and I know you, Jody, that your children are out of the nest, and still we all have children just calling. But to be a parent today, it's a different time when my children was young. There was no cell phone. It was a bedtime. It was, I came from the Middle East, so it was one, it was not color TV, so it was one show, it was Archie Bunker show, and that's it. So they were exposed to so many violence that they have today. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you. Well, I did have a question, though, getting back to the cyberbullying and Facebook and everything. Is there a pattern in terms of, do these bullies use their real name typically when they're harassing somebody on another student online or another peer online, or do they try to hide behind a fake name and try to get away with it longer? I'm just curious
how came they? I just want to add at the end of the question, how came they? Because if you're calling me, I know it's you. I have the number. I have something that I can track you, so I don't know.
There's ways to change your number. Yeah. And have it. They kids are so sophisticated. It's just really scary because they're like so far above us.
Right.
We can't even. They can use one phone and it comes out as a different number and a different person and they can change whatever they want.
Right.
They know how to do it. I don't have a clue.
They can open new Facebook accounts.
Yeah. Open a new account.
Has a fake name and
easy to do.
So nobody can track. I don't know that, but it's really scary. But you special with the social media. So what do you think about this? I mean, you don't dealing with a teenage, but
well, no, I was gonna say there's. I wouldn't necessarily call it bullying, but maybe the adult version, as we call it, trolling. You know, there are trolls out there on the internet. I have a block list on Facebook that's a mile long. I'm not kidding. Just people just being disrespectful, using bad, whatever it is.
Wow.
And, you know, and you can usually tell. And there have been times when I've tried to, like, deal with the person and think, maybe they're having a bad day. I'll give them another chance. But, you know, I have a certain boundary, and when they cross that line, that's it. And Facebook has a way that you can block people.
Oh. How?
So, I will get into it.
Just
click a button, basically.
Yeah.
You click a button.
We're talking about...
I'm just saying that, as an adult, it's nasty enough to deal with. So I can't imagine being a child and still having so much emotional growth to go through and being so vulnerable at that age, especially when we talk about middle school, I was thinking about the onset of puberty, and you're dealing with all these changes
right.
in your body, and it's bad enough, and that awkward phase, and then you're dealing with all this
nonsense. And they're just
online.
Kind of figuring
yeah.
out this polite thing. They, they'll say something that will blow me up, and they'll say, oh, what's wrong with that? And I realize it's developmentally, you got to get to, okay, that's inappropriate. So at the early age, I mean, this stuff just proves out of their mouth, and... Sounds
one of the things that's really sad because they say with all this social media and interaction and texting that people, of course, are talking less face-to-face.
Yeah.
And social skills and social interactions are lacking in our kids because they're growing up doing it all, online.
The subject today, the topic today is bullying, but we're talking about teenage and how people just, lying or change the detail on the social media, we can see what happened in the dating dating side. You know, most of the people lying. Men lied about the age, about the height. Women lying about how they look today. So we're talking about adults. So think what happened to the teenage. Yes. So parents, be aware that's what your child's doing. Be very, very careful and just look and pay attention for the details.
So tonight, listeners, we are talking about bullying, cyberbullying, and teenage suicide. If you have a story or an experience that you want to share with us, please call at 347-945-7246. I'm Sheena Benjamin-Wise, attorney in Broward County, along with my co-host here, Dr. Billy Eisenberg.
But what is your phone number, Sheena? I don't remember.
Oh, my number is 954-783-9737.
Can you repeat again? I don't remember. I want to write it down.
I would be happy to. 954-783-9737. And how can everybody get in contact with you, Dr. Billy?
Very, very good question. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm a clinical psychologist and family therapist here in Boca. And you can reach me at 561-271-7106, and you can go to my website. It's dreisenberg.com.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of... Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to RightStream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the RightStream Radio Network.
And we're back here tonight. We're speaking with Jody Sampson and Marianne Dobin, and we have a special guest, mystery guest for this session. And tonight we're speaking about bullying, cyberbullying, and teenage suicide here in Broward County and in Palm Beach County. And we have some
Marianne wants to
sharing going on.
I think that it's helpful sometimes to move the computer out of the bedroom where kids are and put it into the family room,
mm-hmm.
so that the parents can see where your kids are going on their computer, on Facebook, on Twitter, so you can actually monitor it. Because once it's behind closed doors, you don't know where they're going.
But they have the cell phone, they have the iPad, they have the device. So you need to put everything on the kitchen counter. Is that all right? Now it's here. It's not easy. I mean, it's a great idea, but it's not easy, you know, to fight.
It is definitely possible because, you know, like the child gets that instruction. If you want to be on the Internet, you can be on the Internet, but the only place you can be on the Internet is on the kitchen table with your laptop and not in your room. The only thing that happens in your room is sleeping and whatever you do, but not Internet.
If you get their passwords for things, and they know that you're going to occasionally be checking up on them, you know, and if they don't give you their password or whatever, then, you know, as parents, we do have the capability to shut it off or,
mm-hmm.
you know, turn things mm-hmm. off as far as...
And parents need to know, if you just don't take your child's cell phone, but you can be able to go to provider and just the carrier and just let the child have one number to call. It's your number. So he cannot use it. So, yes, if you need to call home, you know, right now parents are really scared. But it's just one number. You can call your parents and just plug the phone. Yes.
Now, that reminds me, too, if you suspect, like let's just say that it's happening through text messaging that your child is being bullied, you can go to your service provider for your phone, and they can give you a printout of everything.
Wow.
All right.
So that's another way. If you suspect something's going on and maybe your child
text messaging.
With text messaging.
You can do it because you, the parents,
well,
say
you own
the,
exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You own the account.
All right.
Right.
You own the account. So
you own
you,
it.
Okay.
If you're paying the bills, you can go to your Sprint or whoever
yeah,
it is
yeah.
And request a printout of text messages. Yeah.
Oh,
the other thing is, you know, I think if you're being bullied by text message or Facebook or whatever, it's a good idea to make sure to tell your kids not to respond. You know, these kids, they feel like they have to answer whatever is put in front of them on the text message, on the Facebook, and whatever. They don't. If it's somebody who's bothering them or bullying them or something that is not right, they should not be answering back and forth, because eventually the bully, if they don't have that interchange, may go somewhere else. Not that they shouldn't report it no matter what it is, but if they don't get that satisfaction of these interactions, the bully hopefully will stop.
I just want to break something that we discussed before, that for the children, for the teenage, for all the charges, just listen for now. If you feel that you want to talk with someone, who's the best person to call first?
If you just want to talk to someone,
yeah.
Like, you can call the school and talk to a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I mean, does the guidance counselor need to report? Or to whom you need to report?
The guidance counselor can then go to an administrator.
Okay.
Are you referring to bullying?
Yeah.
Okay. When it's bullying, they can go to an administrator. And the most important thing is that you feel like you have a voice. So that if you go to one person at the school and you feel like you're not heard, then you need to go to someone else. And you need to go, you need to be
who's
able
to... Who's the next one? It's someone's who?
Then you go to administration.
Okay. But in school. I agree with you. When you want to talk, go to school first. Go to school first. Go to your guidance, go to the administration, and you feel safe. You feel that somebody can be there for you. I mean, it's nice when you share with your neighbors, with your something family members, somebody with a friend, but you need someone with the objective, someone going to be there for you, and not to try to brush off that nothing happened. So this is my advice, and I know it's not an advice show, it's a talk show, but this is for you, all the teenage, go to the school administration.
Right.
They also have to feel that they need to tell or go to people until they find somebody who does something. It's very important that they get to a person who's going to do something about whatever it is. And this, going back to the teen suicide, you know, kids talk to kids all the time, and kids say things to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's an idle threat or they just said it in passing, you know, I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to hurt myself, I'm going to do this or that. And the friends are afraid to say something or to tell anybody because they don't want the child to be mad at them.
Right.
Or the child says, don't you dare tell somebody, make sure, you know, I'll be mad at you or I'll do it anyway or whatever happens. We always try and tell the kids that they need to go and tell anyway, because
mm-hmm.
a mad friend is better than a dead friend after this.
Right.
And they need to tell until somebody does something. Like they might tell their mom and their mom will feel bad, but the mom won't know what to do. Somebody needs to go to tell somebody who's going to do something, like in the school. There's people that, you know, the peer counseling teacher, the social worker, the guidance counselor, the administration, they're all mandated people that have to do something about any kind of statement like that.
I really like that statement, a mad friend is better than a dead friend.
Yes.
I think that's clear cut and really gets to it, because I think children get over-involved in being afraid of not being liked by their friends and not keeping that friendship alive and not really understanding
Seriously.
What the alternative is. So thank you for that.
And they also feel like they can help the person and
right.
fix the person when maybe beyond them, most likely.
To help, yeah. That's
yeah.
I like that.
And they're helping
yeah.
more by going
yeah.
to tell somebody who's going to do something.
You mentioned earlier about the teacher. Lately the teacher involved...
Yes, they can go to the teacher, but whoever they go to, they need to find out that they're going to take action.
So they have to ask a next question after they say, this is what's happening to me.
Or my friend.
Or my friend. Are you going to?
I need
do
to know
something?
What you're going
are
to
you
do.
Going,
okay.
That's the next question.
And you were talking about the teachers being trained.
Yeah.
In learning how to recognize more signs in children of possible suicide intention or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a few signs, I mean, that the teacher learn how to recognize somebody's suicidal or can you do it?
The teachers get concerned when they see that a student is withdrawn, or they see the student is more tearful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking, they're isolating from the other students. They're not acting like themselves, like they usually would.
Or someone who would be normally a very good and diligent student has stopped doing their work,
right.
Not completing their work, you know, failing, absent more often than they were.
And they're sometimes in a position where they actually can see people who used to be their friends or were friendly with them are no longer friendly, so they can have like an inkling that maybe something has happened. So, yeah, we put a lot on our teachers, and thank you, teachers, for everything that you do, because they are an extra
front
set
line.
Of eyes
the
that
front line,
gets
yeah.
to, yeah.
They're the front line, and they are with your children all day long, so if somebody listens, they're upstairs, so maybe they need to get more money. So we all vote for you, all the teachers. Another thing, that's because usually I'm taking the children's side. That's me. So the children need to know they've been saved. When they're going to go to the administration, they go to the school council, the teacher, they're going to protect them. They're not going to do any step behind the child's back. Am I right? They're not going to go to the police. And the child didn't know. They're not going to call the child's parent. The child be involved the process, what the teacher is doing.
Are you talking about the person who is feeling suicidal?
Yes.
Not the friend.
No. Yes, yeah.
Well.
Oh, you know what? Maybe both. Yes, maybe both, yeah.
They probably are told, I'm hoping, that because these people are mandated reporters of certain things, that if someone comes and says, I haven't gone to suicide, I have a plan, or I don't have a plan, or whatever. Like, the teacher would then refer it to either the guidance counselor or the social worker to assess probably the plan and see how
and
good
in this case, the parents need to know.
The parents need to know, and, you know, certain people might be called to actually assess to see what happens next.
But no, this is absolutely right. Maybe I wasn't clear myself, but the child was complaining about other friend be bullying. What his
another
position?
Friend being bullied.
Yes. Yeah.
They would call in the victim.
Okay. But they're not going to tell who was telling. I mean, who was all right? That's
probably not. That doesn't
no.
have to be
okay.
told.
No. No, they would talk to they would pull in the student. The child that was that the child complained of that was being bullied.
Okay. Yeah, this is very important to know, because when you feel that someone, your friend, be bullying, go and tell. Nothing going to happen to you, but you can save your friend. And as you say,
better a bad friend than a good friend.
Evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And anything else? It's amazing topic. I'm hope each one of the family was listening that get something for this. And one thing you want to share to tell the parents? What you can tell the parents?
Just keep a relationship with your children. Keep your open communication, and don't be afraid to go for help, outside help. There's no shame. Probably 50% or more of the people in the world have either been in therapy, are in therapy, or are going to therapy. It's nothing, and it can help. It definitely can help you, your family, your child.
And before you go into therapy, go to school.
Yeah.
You have a lot of help in school, so go
right.
to school. It's not going to cost you. Just go and talk, and Marianne, what's a good advice you can give?
I'm going to go back to one of the things I said earlier. It's really very important to have a relationship with your child, no matter what, and to spend that time during the day, each day a small amount of time with your child or your teenager, so that you don't lose track of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies, for
thank
coming
for
out and having such an important conversation with us. I'm sure that our listeners have taken a lot of information in, and their families hopefully will be embedded by it. Billy?
And if you have questions about this topic, you can write us on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and we can answer. You can ask the question on Facebook, anonymous, and we can answer. And no doubt, we're going to bring this topic again. And I'm next week. Go on Facebook. We have a special guest. And we're just going to say you heard the name.
Yes.
And it's an MC. We're not going to provide. Go. It's going to be a mysterious. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. And
Sheena Benjamin Wise, always a pleasure to have this time with you, Dr. Billy. As we close tonight, you can reach me at 954-783-9737. You can email me at svwise@wiselaw.com, or you can tweet me at svwiselaw.
I didn't have time enough to write your phone number. Can you repeat the phone number? Because can you repeat your phone number?
954. You got it? 954.
954. 783. 9737. All right. And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm clinical psychologist and therapist. Don't believe in long-term therapy and guarantee you start to see results after the recession. You can reach me, 561-271-7106. And I know you can tweet me. I don't know what's my tweet number.
Keep changing it.
No, it's Dr. Billy E. Yes. All right. Remember, I don't know how to tweet. And you can email me, drbeisenberg@gmail.com. Have a good evening. And parents, be safe. And see you. Talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.